Bruchim Abayim to another week of Parsha Inside Parsha's Tetzaveh. And the Ezras Hashem, besides Tetzaveh, will also try to speak about in Yonim, of course, of Purim. Tovshin Peivav HaBa'aleinu L'Tayv, the Shir is said, L'Zecher Nishmas, U'Le'ili Nishmas, Rebecca Bas Serina and Leon Ben Rachel, may their Neshama Tahiris have a lichtige Gan Eden. The Ezras Hashem, Rabbi Yisrael, that the learning and the inspiration that hopefully we'll get enhance our Purim, enhance our Shabbos Kodesh. Please feel free to share the Divrei Torah as we begin Parshas Tetzaveh, Parsha Insights, and we'll try to Be'ezras Hashem learn, as we said a moment ago, in Yonim from the Parsha, and in Yonim from Purim. If a person takes a look in Parshas Tetzaveh, if you want to look inside, like I said when we started, normally I would say for all of those who are here in the Heichal, listening live, and we'll hear the recording, but tonight we're giving it in the Eitzer, in the Beis Medrash. So for all those who are in the Eitzer, Beis Medrash, and those who are listening live, and those who will hear the recording when it's sent out, turn right after Shani, and of course it speaks about the Avnei Meluyim. The Avnei Meluyim were those priceless stones that were set in the indentations of the Choshen. If one wants to see all of the 12 Avnei Meluyim, as I told you a moment ago, open up the Parshas Tetzaveh, open up right after Sheni, and there you'll have the four different rows, each row containing three stones, 4 times 3 is 12, and there you have 12 of the most precious, priceless stones, the Avnei Meluyim that were used to fill in the indentations in the Choshen. If a person takes a look where the Avnei Meluyim are actually introduced, for that you'll have to go to the beginning of last week's Parsha, Parsha's Truma. So the Avnei Meluyim are specified which they are, all 12 of them, as I just told you already twice, in Tetzaveh after Sheni. But where the Avnei Meluyim are introduced to us is actually in the beginning of last week's Parsha, Parsha's Truma. If one would like to see what I'm saying inside, in the very beginning of Parsha's Truma, Perikol Pei Posuk Zayin, that's where the words Avnei Meluyim are mentioned. Now that's an interesting name, Avnei Meluyim, the word Meluyim from the word Mole Meluy, to fill in. And Rashi indeed says, take a look at Rashi. All I'm doing is reading Rashi. Beginning of Parshas Truma, Avnei Meluyim, Rashi says, why do they have the name Avnei Meluyim? Al Shem, because you have the Choshen made out of gold. There were indentations, 12 of them, in the Choshen, and there Rashi tells us, v'noisnim ha'evan sham, you then put the evan into those indentations, l'malos haguma, to fill them up, to fill in the hole, to fill in the indentation. And therefore, kriyam avnei meluyim, Rabbi Yisai, we mentioned many years ago from the great Mir Rashi Reb Shmuel Birnbaum, a famous, famous pshat of his, an absolute classic. But I'd like to tie it into both a story that I heard this past Shabbos as well as something from Purim. Does anybody have a question on the Rashi I just read? I told you to take a look at the Avnei Meluyim mentioned in this week's Parsha, Parshas Tetzaveh after Sheni. They are 12 of the most priceless, precious, scintillating, value beyond imagination, gems, stones. And Rashi tells us in the beginning of last week's Parsha, Parsha's Truma, that it's called Avnei Meluyim, filling stones, because there were indentations made in the Choshen, and their purpose was to fill in the indentation. I remember years ago somebody once telling me that would be akin to calling the crown of a king a head warmer. Now, would you ever, anybody call a king's crown a head warmer? It's so much more than that. So what, pray tell, does Rashi mean? The name, Avnei Meluyim, they're filling stones. You know why? Because they filled in indentations. That's their value? You're dealing with stones that are so priceless and so scintillating, beyond imagination. Seemingly, there's so much, so much, so much more than merely filling stones. They fill in the indentation. That's their praise? The Mir Hashiv of Shmuel Birnbaum says, yes, Rashi is telling you exactly what gives these stones their intrinsic value and worth. You think what gives these stones their value is the fact that they may have a price tag, or they go as a gem or a mineral or a stone and whatever it might be? No. That doesn't have value in the Torah. The fact that there's something that needs to be filled in other words, something is missing. There are 12 indentations. These stones come along and provide a need. They fill in the hole. They fill in the indentation. There's nothing more noteworthy that something or someone can do than fill in where you're needed. And so, yes, the greatest title and appellation that these stones could possibly have is Avnei Miluyim, filling stones, because what gives them that priceless value and their intrinsic worth is that they fill in where they're needed, period. Now, that's a shot. Because what gives a person or a thing its value and its essence is the fact that something is needed, something needs to be filled in, something's missing, and you provide, fill in what's missing. That's your essence. And since these stones fill in the indentations, they are Avnei Miluyim, there is no greater type of appellation than filling stones. And of course, Rav Shmuel Birnbaum's lesson for us is obvious. What are we doing to become those Avnei Miluyim to others? What? Somebody's worth, value, the intrinsic value and worth comes from our behaving like the Avnei Miluyim, from our looking to see how we could fill in, either to help a person, an organization, a situation. No? What are we doing to be the Avnei Miluyim for someone else? In fact, might I point out to you that if you take a look, when it talks about the Avnei Miluyim, let's say you're in Parshas Tetzaveh, going back to the psukim that I referenced to you after Shani regarding the rose of the Avnei Miluyim, now I ask you to take a look. Chof Ches, Chof Aleph. Chof Ches, Chof Aleph. The Havonim Tiena Al Shemois B'nei Yisrael. Now if you take a look at the English, the way the English translates those words, the stones should be according to the names, which is really a reference, you know, basically, without going into too much detail, what were the names on the Avnei Miluyim? So you had the names of the Shvatim. According to some, you actually had also the name of the stone. You also had Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Shifta Yeshurun, because I'll speak out, because otherwise they would have been missing letters. But isn't the verbiage I just told you in this pasuk interesting? If indeed the name of the stone, or the name of the Shevet, please look inside because I see from your face that you have the question, was written on the stone, then what does the pasuk mean? Chof Ches Chof Aleph, I hope you're looking inside. V'ho'avonim tiyena al Shemais b'nei Yisrael, which literally seems to mean the stones were on the names. No, the names were written on the stone. Not that the stone was on the name, although there as well, there's a shita that may very well be that the stone was actually written, the name was actually written under the stone and lit up based on the Urim Bitumim. But if we go with the explanation that the names were on top of the stone, then what does it mean, Vavonim Tiena Al Shemais B'nei Yisrael? Wouldn't that, our dear Detroiters, mean that the stones were on the names? I remember years ago seeing an explanation homiletically that in Evan, you know, there's an expression in English, oh, a person's going through something and they have such a stone on their heart. A stone on the heart represents a boulder on the heart. They're going through a situation and they would love that stone, that boulder, to be lifted off their neshama, off their heart. And that's what people have to do. The expression, like, I am carrying such a stone on my heart. They're going through a difficult situation. Maybe this goes beautifully with the pshat of Reb Shmuel and Birnbaum. When it comes to the Avnei Meluyim, what did Reb Shmuel and Birnbaum say? The greatest title you have is filling stone, because what do filling stones do? They fill in and help where needed. Someone's going through something. Someone is missing. So I am there now. That's the part of Avnei Meluyim. That's what gives it the intrinsic worth. So maybe that's the pshat. When it came to these stones, what made them the Avnei Meluyim? Because sometimes you face someone who's going through vicissitudes or situations in life. V'havonin tiyena al shemois b'nei Yisrael. They're walking around and carrying a stone and a boulder on their name, on their situation, representing that they're going through something funereal, something difficult, trials, tribulations. People have that from time to time, some even more often. So maybe that's what the pasuk is alluding to when it comes to those people that you're looking at. Look at them, look at them. And they're going through masavei achayim situations of the ha'avonim, tiyena, al, shemais b'nei Yisrael. They're carrying a stone and a burden and a boulder on their name, on their heart, on the yid. You know what you have to do? Be the Avnei Meluyim that fills and lifts it and brightens their day. This past Shabbos, when I had the privilege and the schus, I was by the Project Inspire convention, and it was indeed extremely, extremely inspirational, hence the name Project Inspire. I had the wonderful schus, tremendous schus and opportunity that I was speaking to Rav Moshe Weinberger Shlita of Woodmere. And there were so many wonderful conversations and things to learn, Divrei Torah. And at one of the Sudais, he repeated a fabulous story. And it was just such an inspiring story. Could be that many people have already heard the story, but to me, it took on added meaning, because here I was sitting right next to Rav Moshe Weinberger Shlita, and he was telling me that he had the privilege of hearing the story with the person that it happened with. So Mamela, I was able to get every detail. I had the chance to write it down. And this is what it means to be Avnei Meluyim. This is what it means, V'avon and Tiena al Shemois B'nei Yisrael, to lift the stone off a person. Rav Moshe Weinberger Shlita was talking about how years ago he had met a Yid, and that Yid recounted to him the following story. Growing up, he had grown up with his family. This is what the Yid tells Rav Moshe Weinberger. In a shtetl, in a city somewhere near Grodno, and when he was a little boy, his parents wanted him to go from where he was to learn in Grodno by the great Rav Shimon Shkop. And so the parents hired a malamed, somebody to help teach him and get him ready, this young boy at the young age, to go for a bechina and a feher in Grodno by the great Rav Shimon Shkop. So he told Rav Moshe Weinberger that his parents hired someone, and this person came and taught him a sugya in Gittin, and that he was taught the sugya by the malamed hundreds of times to properly prepare him for his Faharis Bechina's entrance exam into Grodno by Rav Shimon. But Yehi Ayoyim, the day comes, he was talking about the extreme poverty of his family. The parents only had enough money on the train ticket to buy him for one stop. And then he told Rav Moshe Weinberger that he had to walk an additional 3 weeks to get to the yeshiva. Late at night, he arrives and he knocks on the door, and there he is, this young boy standing in front of Rav Shimon Shkop, the great, great Rosh Hashiva of Grodno. And the first thing out of Rav Shimon's mouth is, he says to the young boy,
I have two questions to ask you. And the boy told Rav Moshe Weinberg years later, that's not the way this is supposed to go. I'm thinking to myself, I prepared a sugya in Gittin. I went through it hundreds of times. I'm supposed to tell you the shtickle tire and the sugya. I'm not prepared to answer two questions that the Rishima asked for me. And the first word Rishima Shkub said was, I have two questions I want to ask you. And the boy's thinking, I didn't know the script goes that way. And without missing a beat, Rav Shimon says to this boy named Binyamin, to Reb Binyamin, the boy, number one, when is the last time you had a hot meal? And number two, when is the last time you slept in a bed? That's your bechina. That's your feher to come into Grodno. The rest we could take care of. Right now, tachlis, your bechina and feher entrance exam is, when's the last time you had a hot meal? When's the last time you slept in a bed? That's, and by the way, he added, and he told him, Moshe Weinberger, years later, when he told him over the story, that yes, I'm telling you exactly the way he told it over. Reb Shimon Shkop went ahead, put on an apron, and made him that first hot meal right then and there. That's what it means. It could be that the boy was going through a situation of V'avon and Tiena al Shemois B'nai Yisrael. He's nervous. I'm in front of Reb Shimon. I prepared this sugya hundreds of times. I just walked 3 weeks. Vos Vet Zayin! And what happens? Avnei Meluyim. Enter Reb Shimon, who says, I have two questions to ask you. When's the last time you had a hot meal? When's the last time you slept in a bed? That's what it means to be Avnei Meluyim. And the truth is that that Mida, that Nekuda of being Avnei Meluyim is something that every one of us have to strive to be. Ma'ever Abay say, there are many people, we speak about it often. As we've said countless times, everybody you meet is going through something that you know nothing about. Many people feel, Avonim Tiena Al Shmois B'nai Yisrael, what are you doing to be their Avnei Meluyim? And this is certainly apropos as we're approaching next week, Purim, Tovshin Peivov, Habaleinu L'Toiva, to the theme you find throughout Purim on so many levels. The obvious one, there are four mitzvahs hayayim. And the commonality of the four mitzvahs hayayim is the unity and being there for each other. Mishloach monos, to bring about friendship. Matanas lev yayinim, talk about filling in the need where something is needed. Mishta, to have a proper suda amongst chaverim, amongst people. Mikra megillah, b'roivam hadras melech. All four of the mitzvahs hayayim don't speak, they shout unity. They shout Avnei Meluyim, being there for each other. Mishloach monos, matanas lev yayinim, mishta, mikra megillah. But I'd like to bring to your attention, a few weeks ago, I mentioned a beautiful pshat from the Heligich Sam Sefer, Zechusa Yogan Aleinu. Mamish, an absolute gem. Speaking about Avnei Meluyim, Mamish a gem. And you'll see, I think there's a very appropriate tie-in to the mitzvahs that we just spoke about on Purim. And I think to go through Purim properly, our theme indeed has to be a time of Avnei Meluyim. Says the Heiligich Sam Sefer. If you take a look in the beginning of Parshas Yisrei, I'll just mention the Maror Mokom, so as I said, for those who are in the Eitz or the Beis Medrash, for those who are listening live and those who will hear the recording when it's sent out, at least you should know where it is. It's the beginning of Parshas Yisrei. Perek Yud Ches, Posuk Zayin. The Posuk says, Vayishlu Ish L'Re'eu L'Shalom, that one person greeted the other, they each inquired and greeted each other. Now that's a reference to Moshe and his father-in-law Yisrael. But Rashi famously points out that the Pasuk doesn't tell you who greeted whom. Who initiated the greeting? The father-in-law or the son-in-law? All it says is, and listen to the verbiage of the Pasuk again, Vayishalu ish l're'ehu l'shalom. And if you take a look at Rashi, on those words Rashi tells us, on the words Vayishak Loi, Eini Yedeya, I don't know who bowed to who. Who initiated the greeting? Rashi says, Kishu Oimer Ish Re'ehu, because it says Ish greeted Re'ehu, his friend, I know it means Moshe Rabbeinu initiated the greeting. Why? Rashi says, look at Rashi. Because Moshe is called Ish. Where is Moshe called Ish? The Pasuk tells us in Bamidbar Yudveis, Va'ish Moshe. So you see that Moshe is called by the title and appellation Ish. Va'ish Moshe. So when this Pasuk says, Ish L'Re'ehu, Ish must be Moshe, meaning to say that he initiated the greeting L'Re'ehu to his father-in-law, Yisrael. Rashi seems to be clear-cut. Moshe Rabbeinu is not the only one that's called Ish. In fact, if you take a look at Parsha Shemois, at a pasuk that I'll reference in a moment, his father-in-law Yisrael is called Ish. So how could Rashi bring a proof that Vayishu Ish L'Re'ehu means the greetings of peace and shalom were initiated by Moshe because it says Ish L'Re'ehu and Moshe Rabbeinu is called Ish? So is Yisrael. If you take a look in Shemois, Perek Beis Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Beis Chaf Aleph Shemois, the Pasuk says, Vayayol Moshe, Lo Sheves Es HaIsh. Moshe desired to dwell with the Ish, and who was that Ish? That Ish was his father-in-law, Yisrael. So you see that Yisrael is also called Ish. So what does Rashi mean? I know that the greetings were initiated by Moshe Rabbeinu because it says Ish L'Re'ehu, and Moshe is called Va'ish Moshe. I just showed you another pasuk in Shemois that Yisro is called Ish. So now I'm back to the question, what does Rashi mean? Who greeted whom? They're both called Ish. The Chassam Sofer says something, Pile, 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 Pile. If you take a look at Rashi, he says, when Rashi says that I know Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who initiated the greeting because it says Ish L'Re'ehu, and then the Chassam Sofer says, and who's the one that's called Ish, as the Pasuk says, Va'ish Moshe, says the Chassam Sofer, Rashi doesn't mean I know that Moshe initiated the peaceful greeting because he's called Ish, because then you're left with the question, so is his father-in-law Yisro. Rashi means to reference the Pasuk, Va'ish Moshe, not the word Ish, but the Pasuk. What are the words after Va'ish Moshe? What does that Pasuk in Bamidbar say, Va'ish Moshe? Anav Me'od Mikol Adam. He was the greatest Anav. He was the most humble of all people. And that's what Rashi means. If you're an Anav, and you're a humble person, and you care about others, you too will be Machd in Shalom and initiate greeting. So you're right, both Yisroi and Moshe were both called Ish. When Rashi says that I know that the one who is Machdim Shalom, you know how important it is to be Machdim Shalom, be the first one. Some people, they be Machdim Shalom. Rashi's telling us, the way I know Ish L'Re'ehu was initiated by Moshe Rabbeinu is a reference to the Pasuk Va'ish Moshe, not the word Va'ish, because otherwise you run into the trouble we did. The Pasuk Va'ish Moshe, you know what those words are after? Anav Me'od, Anav Me'od, Anav, 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 Anav Me'od. And if you'll be an Anav, then you too will be Makdim Shalom. Now that's Purim. In fact, it should be noted that the words the Pasuk says is, Vayishlu Ish L'Re'ehu. Rabbi say, where else do you find those same two words in the Megillah? In Megillah's Esther, by Mishloach Manos, it says, U'mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu. Maybe the same words, Ish L'Re'ehu, Ish L'Re'ehu, are to remind you of the other Ish L'Re'ehu, which reminds you of the Pshat in Rashi, that if you'll be Ish L'Re'ehu like Moshe Rabbeinu, you'll be an Anav, you'll be a humble person, you'll also be Makdim Shalom. You know, it's interesting that as by Mishloach Manos, of course, everybody has to be Mekayim the Mitzvahs and do it properly and be Marbe Reyes. You know, sometimes when it comes to Mishloach Manos, I'm sorry if it sounds a drop theatrical for just 10 or 20 seconds, but sometimes when it comes to Mishloach Manos, a person, oh, you think I'm going to give you that Mishloach Manos this after what you gave me last year? Oh, no, 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 you're not on the A-list anymore. No, 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 you're down to the C or D-list. You think after what you gave me last year, that, and I know that it was recycled and from this one and from that one and you pieced it together afterwards, And I nobody has to talk to me about any of the Rishlai Achmanis. Point well taken. Sometimes we make Alech Hashbainis, this list, that list, this list, that list. You gave me. What do you mean? I've been doing carpool 16 years. You better do it. And when you did carpool, you picked up four people along the way. My kid always got died. After such a carpool, you think you're going to get from me a Mishlai Achmanis? I'll show you a Mishlai Achmanis. Umishlai Achmanis Ishlere Ehu, to remind you of the Ishlere Ehu by Moshe Rabbeinu. If you're onav ma'oid, if you're humble, if a person doesn't remain on their high horse, but they're willing to realize the power of anivus, you too will be ish l're'eyu and you'll be machim shalom. And that's Purim. So it's not just that the four mitzvahs, hayayim, matanis, lev yayinim, and mishloach manis, and mishta, and mikra megillah, are to be mar bereus. It's to bring out the anivus within us. It's to bring out the Avnei Meluyim within us. In fact, Megillas Esther is an interesting name. Megillah is to be Megala, to reveal. Esther is from the word Hester, that which is hidden. Is it revealing or hidden? Hidden. It's to reveal the hidden, that Anivus within, that Avnei Meluyim within. It's a day to reveal its full beauty on Purim. I want to conclude the shir with a pshat. These parshiyos, we speak about the menorah. In fact, last week we spent quite a bit of time on the menorah. Such a fabulous, fabulous pshat. If a person will take a look for a moment, Perek Chaf Hei Posuk Mem, this is actually also found, it's a Rashi in last week's parsha, Parshas Truma. It's the last posuk in Perek Chaf Hei Mem, when Moshe Rabbeinu is taught about the menorah, he is told, it's a menorah asher ata moreh bahar. You're going to be shown the menorah on the mountain. So 1 minute, is the pasuk telling us you'll show it to others, or you will be shown the menorah? Clearly the pasuk says asher ata moreh bahar. You will be shown the menorah, as opposed to showing it to others. Take a look at Rashi. Rabbi say, please take a look at Rashi. Rashi is clear to tell you that the posuk used the word mar'eh and not mar'eh. Mar'eh with a kamas, not mar'eh with a patach. Why? Rashi says mar'eh teaches you with a kamas that you are shown. Mar'eh would be that you show others. So in other words, the nekuda, the kamas or the patach, is what differentiates whether you're shown it or you show it to others. And therefore it's more, not mare, to teach you the nekuda of the kamas, not the patach, i.e. it is shown to you and not the reverse. Now take a look at the last five words of Rashi. Shehanikud mafrid bein oisa lenasa. Now, literally what Rashi means is, Shehanikud, it is the Nekuda, i.e., the Kamatz or the Patach, Mafrid, that distinguishes and differentiates, Bein Ose Lenase, whether you are due, i.e., that you show to people, or Nase, it is done for you. So Rashi just said in those five words, what did we explain? Shehanikud, Mafrid, Bein Ose Lenase, it is the Nekuda, Kamatz or Patach, which will differentiate whether you're doing and showing it to others or it's being done for you and being shown to you. Crystal clear. I remember years ago somebody telling me there's another way of Pidrush so powerfully to understand those five words. Let's say it one more time. Shehanikud, mafrid, dein oisa lenase could also be interpreted homiletically as, in life, Rabbeisa, you have to remember, shehanikud. A nikud means the small nikuda. The nikud means that small dot, that small, small davar. In life, shehanikud, sometimes it's the small nikuda, the small dot, mafrid, that will differentiate and distinguish. Bein oisa lenase. Are you a doer, or do you sit back and wait until others do for you? No? Are you an oisa? Or are you a nase? It's not always the big and grandiose.
It's not always that it has to be something that turns over the world. In life, shahanikud, that small nakuda, small attention to detail, that little bit of going out of your comfort zone and helping somebody, that is what's mafrid and distinguishes. Are you a doer? Are you somebody who sits back and waits till it gets done by others? We could all find that nikud, that small dover, that little thing is not so. By the way, to the person who's going through a situation of avonim al shemais b'nei Yisrael, to you it might be a nikud, but to them it's a big deal. To that person who's going through a situation of avonim al shemais b'nei Yisrael, what to you is a nikud, to them is a very, very big deal. We should be zaycha, parshas tetzaveh, parsha zachar, purim tovshin peva, to be able to really bring about the avnei meluyim within us, to be there for people and situations, especially those who have the avonim al shemais b'nei Yisrael. Be there for them with the nikud, because that is what distinguishes and is mafrid. Are you a doer like an avnei meluyim, or you sit back and have the others do it? It's mamish purim. It's the four mitzvahs hayayim. It's ish l'rei ehu. It's being an onav and being the one to be makdim shalom. That is what is mar bereyos. May we be zeicha that all of our tefillos, especially on the days of Tainis Esther, Purim, Shushan Purim, be answered. May all those in Klal Yisrael who need refuah be zeicha, those who need Yeshua be zeicha. Yemalei Hashem kol nishalas lipchem l'tayva. We should talk of Bizaycha to a Freilich and Freilich and Purim, one of La Yehuda, my Sayer, the Simcha, the Sosamikar, and the greatest Ayra and Simcha, and the greatest Freilichheit that we could ask for is that there will be a Vinahapachu, that the Golos will be Ezes Hashem be turned into this Purim. The Geula Shalema, Bimheira, Biyameinu, Amen.